Hey everybody, Rob Bauer here, and today we've got a pretty quick new review from Sandy Monroe of the Cybertruck. We've also got a transition in leadership on Tesla's Dojo team, a new updated note from Piper Sandler on Tesla, and a few other items as well. All right, looking at the stock, Tesla up about 1.3% today to $242.64. A little bit of an underperformance, or I guess actually an equal performance. I'm gonna refresh this because I thought that had changed. But equal performance today to the NASDAQ, also up right around that same level. So usually we'd see Tesla outperform with the beta, but we'll take that for a green day as well. We do also have a couple of Form 4s here, a few of them for Tesla today. These are all relatively minor, so we've got three of pretty much the same forms from Drew Baglino, Tom Zhu, and Tesla's new CFO, Vaibhav Taneja. So these are restricted stock units that Tesla has granted. We can see that down here. You can see that those stock units were then acquired by the executives, and about half of them disposed in association with tax withholding. So that's kind of what the transaction is here for all three of these. And they're all relative to these, you know, executive total share counts, all relatively minor share count amounts. So nothing too significant there. Again, just these options or these restricted stock units being granted, and then some of it being sold to cover tax withholding. So again, nothing major there. I don't know why the stock units are granted, maybe something related to the Cybertruck delivery actually now finally happening. Speaking of the Cybertruck delivery, we do have an updated review from Sandy Monroe. So first impressions here, looked like he got a bit of time with this vehicle at Giga Texas. So not a full review, I'm sure we'll see that at some point from Sandy and looking forward to that. But a few of his initial impressions, he said that this thing handles like a dream. We've heard a lot about this four-wheel steering, and I think, or the four-wheel steering as well as front and rear wheel steering as well as steer-by-wire. So Sandy noting the benefits of that in just the handling of the vehicle. He said he cannot believe the visibility in this vehicle. We've heard some criticism of rear visibility. So here he's speaking to front and side visibility, which MKBHD's review actually wasn't as positive on front visibility. So good to hear a little bit of a different perspective on that in particular. He also found a couple of cool features like the HEPA air filter. This is actually just installed behind a panel in the front trunk. So you can just remove that pretty easily, as we can see Sandy do here. Just clips in and out, and then you can replace that filter relatively easy to what the air filter replacement process is in some other vehicles. I'm sure people have given that a shot as well. Not the most difficult thing, but this will be a lot simpler. So nice to see Tesla engineering in that simplicity there. And then just kind of a fun thing here in the sort of smuggler's bay, as Tesla is calling it, in the bed, that compartment there. Tesla does have a drain plug in there. I think we previously knew that, so just reiterating that, but also a nice little Cybertruck detail on that drain plug cover. And then a couple other things from Sandy. He said the backseat, he was a really big fan of the amount of space in here. We've heard this from a couple other people as well, and this was the case for the prototype. But with this vehicle being a little bit smaller, it's good to see that Tesla has maintained such a large backseat area. In particular, he said he's been critical of the rear seat and headroom in the rear seat in the past. But in this vehicle, no issues. He said plenty of room for even the tallest people, and said overall just an amazing amount of room. So you can get a good feel for that there. But good to see that reiterated with this slightly smaller from production or from prototype vehicle. One little complaint, I guess, would be that we've heard a lot about the rear visibility. With the tonneau cover closed, of course, you can't see anything out of the rear view mirror. So Tesla's solution for that is the rear camera. And as you can see here, Sandy was driving in kind of rainy weather in Texas. And with that being the case, as we can see, everything is super sharp on this display, except for pretty hazy rear camera visibility here. And especially when you do have that as just a portion of the screen, I do think that makes it a little bit trickier, or maybe just even a little bit uncomfortable. The side view cameras were actually still very clear in this type of a scenario, likely just due to their positioning. But we can see that this could be something that is a little bit problematic. For the front camera, I don't know if we've talked about this yet, but the Top Gear review showed, I think it was the Top Gear review, maybe MKBHD, it showed that Tesla does have a washing mechanism to clear that front camera off. It would be awesome if they could implement something like that for the rear view for cases like this where you are getting a little bit of haziness, especially just because of the tonneau cover and the added challenge that presents with rear visibility. So we'll keep an eye on that. You know, it's not something that you can't work around with side view mirrors and things like that, but just for comfort, I think that would be a win. And then we do also have we did have a comment from Sandy at the end of his video that said that they're going to be at the sort of giveaway event. I don't know if he was referring to Tesla's or somebody else's. I saw some things with UFC or Dana White maybe giving a Cybertruck away, but he mentioned that they were going to be giving away 8 Cybertrucks. So I'm not sure if that's a part of this referral Cybertruck sweepstakes that we have seen, but Tesla's actually updated the language on this, saying that one winner will be selected at random in early January to choose between a Foundation Series all-wheel drive or a Cyberbeast version. So previously, we didn't have the timeline on that, didn't have the indication that it would be one of these two vehicles. Not sure why you would choose the all-wheel drive. I guess get it a little bit sooner, but this is free of charge. So if you wanted to wait a little bit longer for that Cyberbeast, you could do that. So hopefully, you know, we'll hear from whoever is the lucky winner of this from the referral program. We've also got an update here on Tesla's Dojo team. So a little bit disappointing. Ganesh Venkataraman. I practiced this so many times and I was like, I'm gonna get it. Venkataramanan. I'm probably still getting it wrong, but hopefully a little bit closer there. Anyway, Ganesh, who presented during the sort of progress update on Dojo that Tesla had, I think at AI Day 2, super enthusiastic guy, really gave a great presentation. According to Bloomberg, has left the company. This happened last month, so sometime in November, according to people familiar with the matter from Bloomberg's report. And apparently, Pete Bannon, who's been at Tesla for a long time, 7 years, just like Ganesh, is now taking over the lead of the Dojo project. So, don't know if this was Ganesh's decision or Tesla's decision or a mutual parting of ways. No other details than that. But it was exciting to hear him present about Dojo at the time. He's got a lot of industry experience. He was at AMD for 14 years prior to Tesla, almost 15 years prior to Tesla, and of course has been with Tesla for a long time as well. So, sorry to see Ganesh go, but best of luck for him in future endeavors. And Pete Bannon, of course, we've heard him present, you know, many times throughout Tesla's AI days and Autopilot history as well. So, definitely a good person to have stepping into that role. Also, a very storied background for him as well. All right, next up, we've got an updated note here from Piper Sandler. So, Alex Potter, always like to get his updated thoughts. This note centers around essentially investors' concerns on EV demand. And their thesis is that is a little bit overstated and that the demand concerns are primarily coming from incumbent mass market brands not keeping pace. So, what they've done with this note is gone through each automaker and essentially looked at their EV adoption rates and how that is as a total of their fleet. We won't go through all of those. We'll look at Tesla's here in a second, but some of the main takeaways, as we can see here, they did take down their EV penetration forecasts a little bit. You can see 600 to 700 basis points here, but they're still expecting EV penetration to rise to 26% of sales in 2025, 60% in 2030, driven largely by BYD, Tesla, and Rivian, which they expect to be about 25% of all sales in US, China, and Europe in 2030. So, in addition to that, they also reiterate that Tesla is, as always, remains our top recommendation in this sector. So, they're still bullish on Tesla in general. Here we can see Tesla's, you know, market share and things like that over time. The percentage of all light vehicles sold here on the y-axis. They say that Tesla is a company that is still on the offense. Don't bank on flatlining market share. They talk about how the next couple of years could see slower year-over-year growth as we kind of wait for the next generation vehicle. Cybertruck could help with that a little bit. But of course, we know that the volume there is potentially capped relative to what we would see certainly from the next generation vehicle. And then something that we rarely see from analysts, but something that is becoming more and more relevant, seemingly quarter over quarter or quarter by quarter, is energy. So also notes that Tesla's energy segment may grow at a triple-digit rate in the next coming 1 to 2 years. So good to see that acknowledgement, and hopefully we get a little bit more of that with Tesla Energy too. And then I just like this chart in general, shows the various different battery electric vehicles on the market and the relative volumes. And the Model Y is literally off the chart. They recharted it here for Tesla's page, but for the other pages, for example, they just cut it off because you couldn't really see the relative scale of anything else with the Model Y affecting that Y-axis so much. So they just leave a note there for the Model Y. But here we can see relative Tesla with the Model Y completely obliterating everyone else in volume. Now, maybe not the fairest comparison, of course, with BYD. They've got a lot of models across the lineup, for example, but still incredibly impressive. All right, we've gotten a couple updates on a few stories from yesterday. So we talked about the expansion of unions potentially striking against Tesla in other countries in Europe relating to the ongoing, again, I don't even know if it's a labor dispute, really just the pressure from unions in Sweden. So now Finland, the Finnish Automotive Union, AKT, has announced that they will be joining the blockade that we've heard from both Denmark and I can't remember the other country yesterday, I think Norway. That was going to begin on December 20th, so they are going to be joining in that as well, if there is no resolution by that point in time. We did have some good comments on this in the discussion yesterday, or in the comment section yesterday. Someone told me that IF Metal wanted to reach out to me and talk, so, I mean, if that happens, that'd be great. I would definitely welcome the conversation, so we'll see. Could be someone just pulling my leg there, too. But hopefully that'll happen. Kind of get that perspective, just on the efforts in general. And then we've got a report from Reuters here that says Tesla has lost a legal battle with Sweden's postal service today relating to the delivery of plates for Tesla vehicles in Sweden. So we've actually talked about this a couple times. This was the case where Tesla, I don't know if it was a lawsuit or just challenged a ruling in Sweden that they were not able to receive plates. And that was the same day, actually, allowed Tesla to begin picking those plates up. That is still the case. Tesla can still go and pick these plates up. This is just relating to the Postal Service, whether or not the Postal Service has to deliver it. And this is not a final ruling. This is a temporary ruling while the court's final ruling is determined. So for the time being, they don't have to deliver them. But my understanding is that Tesla can still pick them up, which is what the scenario has been since that last time we had talked about it. That's what we highlighted down here. So we'll see how that unfolds. They seem to be moving pretty quickly with these decisions, so hopefully we'll get more information on that relatively soon. Then another story that we had talked about yesterday was that report out of China that Tesla was looking to expand Giga Shanghai with sort of the third phase of the factory. Remember we said it was sort of in the rumor category. If we look at Elon Musk's likes on X, we can see that an article here by Eva Fox that was talking about this was liked by Elon. So not necessarily a confirmation, but I think certainly gives us a little bit more of an indication that this is something that is most likely happening for Giga Shanghai. So good to have a little bit more insight there. Another story on Elon here. So as we've talked about many times over the years, the SEC, the settlement agreement with Elon Musk back in probably 2018, I want to say, where the SEC decreed that Elon would have to have someone review any potentially significant tweets. At that time, tweets, now posts on X, relating to just the settlement agreement there around funding secured. So Elon has challenged that a couple of times in court. He is now asking the U.S. Supreme Court to look into this case. It's just a request for them to review it. It's not there yet. He needs 4 out of 9 Supreme Court justices to agree to take the case. So we'll see if that does happen, but that was the request made by Elon today. So we could be talking about that yet again. And then a nice piece of news here from Sawyer on X, sharing that Tesla has opened their first sales and delivery center in Connecticut. So Connecticut, one of the states that does not allow Tesla to do this, but like they have done in other states, getting around that by partnering with some sovereign land, some tribal sovereign land, where they have a little bit more control over what they do and do not do. So I just kind of liked this this website. Kind of looks like a typical casino website, and then you've got just a Tesla electric vehicle showroom page as well. So kind of interesting to see that, but again, a tactic that we've seen Tesla employ in other states, and should be nice to get their, you know, a little bit of a foot in the door in that state. And then lastly for today, the House has passed, I think this was yesterday, but the House passed a bill called the Choice in Automobile Retail Car Sales. Man, I'm messing this one up. Choice in Automobile Retail Sales, or CARS Act, which would effectively limit the EPA's ability to finalize, implement, or enforce proposed rules that would, in 2032, require about 67% of vehicles to be electric vehicles or zero-emission vehicles. I'm not sure exactly what the wording is on how that's structured, but this act would potentially limit the EPA's ability to implement and enforce that. So I kind of also looked at this, a statement from the Energy and Commerce Committee in the House, And as I was reading this, they say that the CARS Act stops President Biden's agenda to force Americans to drive electric vehicles, which will cede our auto future to China. And I was like, yeah, that makes sense. If we did stop that, that would cede our auto future to China. And then I read it again, and I realized that they were saying that if we require electric cars, that will end up ceding our auto future to China, which seems a little bit backwards to me, because I think electrification in China is obviously happening very quickly. And the sooner that that happens, the more, you know, the more in the future that is going to be for China. So I just kind of chuckled at just how backwards that seemed to me. But when you look through this, you can clearly see that this is something that is in support of this CARS Act limitation. So kind of interesting to see that. At any rate, this will now go to the Senate. And then the White House did issue, through the Office of Management and Budget, a statement that said if the president were presented with this act, he would veto it. So ultimately, it could be a moot point, but still, we'll keep an eye on how that progresses. That'll wrap it up for today, though. So as always, thank you for listening. Make sure you're subscribed and signed up for notifications. You can also find me on X at Tesla Podcast. And we'll see you tomorrow for the Friday, December 8th episode of Tesla Daily. Thank you.